You know, this happens to me a lot. I don't mean it to happen. I'm not really, or I wasn't very keen on it happening to me, but it happened to me a lot. Once I started praying and I got set free, and you know, I was able to get out of that concentration camp, and I was able to get through the perimeter with all the landmines, and I walked on solid ground, and I started seeing victory in my life. I started seeing victory in other people's lives. You know, I'd go to a church not to cause any trouble. I wouldn't go there to cause division or any commotion or anything like that. I'd just go to a church. I'd find a spirit-filled church and I'd turn up. And I'd just not interested in causing trouble, not interested in causing any division. I just wanted to worship with the brothers and sisters. And it would happen to me all the time. Men, it would happen to me like 100% of the time. That became very bad for me. It caused me lots of trouble. And I had to go and seek the Lord about it. I continually thought, is there something wrong with me? But the Lord said to me, no, I've caused you to walk in my light. You know, and what would happen is I'd go to a church and I'd quietly go in and I'd sit down, and I didn't want to be anybody. I'd just sit down and try to be just a grey man, just sit down, and they'd stand up to worship, and I'd start worshiping, and I'd start praying, and people would, you know, they'd look at me, and I didn't pray loud or anything like that. And they would say, they'd say, you've got an anointing over you, or I'd be, you know, in church, and I'd be standing there or sitting down, and someone would say to me, I mean, I'd just sit down anywhere in the congregation, and the person always next to me would say, hi, how you going? I'd say hello, and they'd say, I've never seen you here before. I'd say, no, you know, this is my first time here. And they would say stuff like, I've been trying to receive the Holy Spirit. I've been coming here for 3 months, and I've been trying to receive the Holy Spirit. And I say, well, I pray in tongues, and if you want, I'll pray for you, and you can have the Holy Spirit. I say, yes, please. And I go, oh, okay. So I take them outside, and I pray for them, and they get filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't get them. I didn't fill them with the Holy Spirit myself. God fills people with the Holy Spirit. I laid my hands on them, and the power of God followed through me into them and got them filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they would go to the pastor or somebody and say, I speak in tongues, praise the Lord. And then the pastor would come over to me and say, who are you? What are you doing? And I'd say, well, I was just sitting down. And, you know, this guy just asked me if I would pray for him to receive the Holy Spirit. And I just took him outside and prayed for him. And he says, who told you to do that? Well, you know, I could get smart about it and say, God. He could say, who gives you the right to pray for people in my church? I'm the pastor. And I could say, well, I thought the church was Jesus' church, and I thought we were all lively stones and servants, you know, but those words are wasted on these people, because these people are so angry that you've come and rained on their parade. You've come and caused havoc in their church, you know, or, you know, I'll sit down and a guy will start manifesting. And he'll go to the pastor and he'll say, there's something wrong with that guy over there. And he'll point a finger at me. The pastor will come over and say, what's happening? I say, nothing. I've just sat down. That's all I did. I sat down and the guy next to me started manifesting. He started going all crazy. And, you know, it was the darkness inside them. It was demons inside them. I can't help that. I'm just sitting there. I didn't put my hand on him. I didn't pray for him. I just sat there. The guy starts manifesting. The pastor, he says to me, you can't stay here. I said, but I didn't do anything. And then the pastor will say, there's something wrong with you. And I'll say, I can't. Look, I'm sorry. You know, what am I going to do? Say, look, I'm just going to turn the light off or dial it down. The glory that's all over me, it makes people happy. Some people, they manifest in a good way. They go, praise the Lord, I feel joy. I come near you and all of a sudden I feel joy. I can't stop feeling good. And I go, that's the Lord. Some people come near me and they go, I can't stop feeling agitated. I say, well, that's not the Lord. That's the enemy that's getting upset inside you because light is coming to your life or within the vicinity of you and causing havoc, a spiritual hemorrhage in your life. The darkness is starting to rear up. And anyway, so that's what happens a lot. So, you know, I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, why can't I be with my brothers and sisters? Why can't I fellowship with them? And he said to me, well, I was walking up a mountain. I lived at the bottom of a mountain and I was walking up the mountain. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm just so upset about all of this. You know, I feel like the odd person out. Nobody wants to be around me unless they're on fire for the Lord. How comes I just can't be around other people in the Lord? How comes I come against pastors? I come up to a pastor, I shake his hand, and he falls on the ground. and he gets up, or the other pastor standing around, take off. Why don't they say, what's going on? They know what's going on. They just run. And I just, you know, what's going on? Why do people meet me and they say, praise the Lord, you're fantastic, Tom. You're a great man of God. You're the person I've always wanted to meet. And then a couple of weeks later or a couple of days later, they don't want to know me. And I said, what's going on? So I asked the Lord. I said, can you just tell me about this? So I'm walking up the mountain and I get up the top of the mountain. It's a lookout at the top of the mountain. And it's in Brisbane. And it's Mount Cravat, actually. Mount Cravat Lookout. So I'm up the top there and I sat down. And I'm feeling really down about the whole thing. And this guy is talking to these Jehovah Witnesses right near me. And he's saying about the Trinity, saying, you know, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are real and all this stuff. And these Jehovah Witnesses are sitting there saying, no, it's not true and all this. And I looked over at the guy and I said, you know, the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit are the Godhead. And he looked at me and he said, praise the Lord. And he came over to me and he said, who are you? I said, oh, I'm just a Christian. And I heard you speaking to them. And we got talking probably for about maybe a minute. That's all. Only a minute. And then he says to me, God's just told me to tell you something. I said, what? He said, when you go to a church, the pastors feel intimidated by you and they want to run away from you. And when you go to a church and the congregation meets you, they get saturated with the presence of God that's over you and they can't take any more. So they run away from you. And I went, praise the Lord, that's amazing. I said, who are you? And he said, oh, I belong to a church over there. And I said to him, so what did you come up here for? And he said, I was told there was a prayer meeting up here at the lookout. And there's nobody here to pray with. And I said, well, I'll pray with you. So I took him over to a little part and we had some worship. Both started speaking in tongues. Worshipped, and he said, that was fantastic. And I said, praise the Lord, good stuff. And he had answered my question to the Lord. The Lord sent him. He didn't know anything about me, and yet he came out with this stuff. And we went on our merry ways, and I never saw him again. I don't know who he is. I asked him if I could get his contact details, and he said, no. He said, no, I've just come here to speak to you. So I don't know who he was. And it was a pretty amazing situation. So it happens all the time. You know, I had one guy, I went into this church and I'm sitting there and they started, the music was too loud for me. I thought, this is too much for me. There were smoke machines going and flashing lights, and I said, oh, I just can't take this. So I just wanted to go home to my peace and quiet and just be in the presence of God. And as I was walking out the door, the Holy Spirit said, no, don't. Turn around and go back. So I walked in and I stood in the foyer because I didn't want to go back into that place, into the auditorium. And I'm standing in the foyer and this guy comes over to me and he says, hi, how you going? I said, hello. I mean, I'm just about ready to go, here we go again. And he says to me, so what are you doing here? I said, oh, I just come to have a look. He said, what do you do? I mean, I said, well, I'm a Christian and, you know, I just pray in tongues and I just get full of God and I see the Lord work in my life. That's what I said. Basically, and he goes, have you got a little dog, a little white dog, and your wife's got blonde hair? I said, yes. He said, you're the one. You're the one. And I went, what do you mean I'm the one? He says, no, no, you're the one. I've been praying about you. And I went, what are you talking about? He says, well, this morning I got up and I said, Lord, I'm tired of a so-so life. I'm tired of just a so-so Christianity. I want more than what I've got. And I prayed about it. And anyway, I went down the main street of town and I sat down outside a barber shop. And I was reading my Bible and they came out and said, do you need your hair cut? And I said, no, I'm reading my Bible. And the lady said, do you know Tom and Donna? And he goes, no. And the lady said, started telling him about us, how that I prayed for her and her mother and all of these things happened. And he said, where are they? The lady said, I don't know where they live. So he said, Lord, I need to find this guy. That was Friday morning. And it was Friday night. I'm standing there talking to him. And he goes, you're the one. You're the one. I go, okay, I get it. I get it. Okay. So I got his number and I said, look, I'll ring you up and I'll come and see you. So about 3 days later, I rang him up. Went around to his house and he's sitting on the seat, on the lounge, a big lounge. And I just sat there and I said, so have you ever felt the presence of God? And he says, no, I'm not really what you mean. I don't know what you really mean. And I said, well, it feels like this and this. And then all of a sudden he said, ah, I feel something all over me. I said, that's God. And then all of a sudden his eyes rolled back and he just fell on the lounge. And he's a big Maori guy from New Zealand. And this guy was big and wide and tall. And he just rolled back on the lounge and I couldn't sit him back up. I just thought, oh, don't worry about it. I said, just lie there. He was whacked off his head. He could not move. He just went out to it. And I just said, okay, I understand. And I'd only been there like 5 minutes, not even that, maybe 3 or 4 minutes. And he's out to it. So I just put my hand on him. I prayed over him and I just asked the Lord to give him a revelation of Jesus Christ that would just transform his whole life. And I just walked away and said, see you later. And he's going, ah. That was it. Anyway, so he rings me up about 3 days later. He says, I've been out to it for 3 days. I said, what? He said, I've been whacked off my head for 3 days. I couldn't even put my pants on. I could hardly stand up. I was staggering around the house for 3 days. And I said, well, there you go. That's God. Anyways, he says, I know stuff. I said, yep. While you were probably out to it, the Holy Spirit was downloading lots and lots of stuff. He said, I just know stuff. I said, yep, start praying. So, you know, I got him praying. And he started praying for about 5 weeks. And he was praying away. And he came to me, he said, my church is useless. And I went, well, I didn't tell you that. He said, no, I figured it out myself. I said, well, don't go mad at them. Just pray for them and speak into other people's lives what happened to you. And so You know, he's out on the street now preaching the gospel, praying for people, seeing people healed, all these sorts of things, miracles happening in his life. You know, and that's the short story. There's a big, big long story about that guy. And, you know, he was blessed by the Lord. The Lord answered his prayer. He wanted to know more. And he used me to connect the dots for him. And God did the work in his life. It wasn't me. All I did was just deliver the package, and God did all the work in him. And he understands that. So, you know, that's what happens. So if you're going to be full of God, the people that are on fire are going to want to know you, but the people who are sitting on the fence in church, they definitely don't want to know you. They will run away from you. So you're going to have to figure it out. Are you going to stay inside the compound with everybody else that's bound up in chains and is captive, or are you going to dig your way out of the compound, get past all of the landmines that are out there, and get into freedom and walk in the sunshine, walk in the light of the Holy Spirit, walk in revival? It's up to you. God will do the work in you. You don't have to do anything except pray in the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit set you free. He will systematically dismantle all of the rubbish in your life. But you have to be willing to sit down and let him do that. You can't go off running through all the landmines, getting blown up, set up by the enemy, and running back into the compound and, you know, never leaving that compound again because it's too scary out there. The enemy is hoping that you will turn and run back into the compound. He's hoping that you'll run into that little bit of life that you've got in the compound rather than abundant life outside. But the choice is yours. That's the wonderful thing. God has given you a sovereign will to be able to choose to go to choose light or to choose darkness. He doesn't want you sitting on the fence. The worst place is sitting on the fence. You know, Jesus said in Revelations, "I would wish that you were either cold or hot, but not lukewarm." Lukewarm is useless to God. He wants you to make a decision. Do you want to stay in the compound and forget about everything? Maybe leave the compound and just go into the darkness. But it's sitting in the compound is useless. You need to do things. You need to either break out of the compound or go and join the enemy. That's it. He doesn't want you sitting on the fence. We all need to get off the fence and do and make a choice. Do we choose life or death? But sitting on the fence is the worst place that you can be. Sitting in a church with fire inside you and not letting it burst out and operate is the worst thing for you. So it's your choice. We'll leave it there.